Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That was Ireland's impression of Johnny Most.
Right, the Celtic announcer who didn't take the time to learn any of the names of the Yugoslavian team that they played.
The same way Michael Thompson
yes.
called that game the other night.
Right now it's time to talk to Sean McVay. Do we have Coach?
Oh, yeah, you got me.
All right,
Coach.
Great to have you. Congratulations. This was a game that was not decided until the very, very end of the game. It looked like it took you guys a while to find your rhythm. What changed from the first half when you were turning it over and not scoring until the very end to the second half where you guys seemed to control the game?
I think you just answered it. That's what happened. You know, we took care of the football better. You know, and really, we even had a second half. You know, the first drive of the second half went right down the field and unfortunately turned it over there. So I felt like the offense was executing at a high level. We just had a couple of those plays that end up stalling. But there was good, crisp execution against a really tough run defense. There was good plays in the pass game. And thought ultimately, you know, Matthew was at his best when he had to be and guys made plays around him. And I can't say enough about the defensive stop with 7:18 left. You know, they got first and goal from the 5 up 2 points. And for our defense to hold them to a field goal there, end up getting the ball back with about 4.5 minutes left. And we know what happened there. But it was a heck of a team win. Talk about finishing the games like champions. And I thought that was great by those guys the other day.
So, Coach, here's the two interceptions and the fumble for Matthew Stafford. After each one of those turnovers, he comes to you on the sidelines and you have a quick conversation with him about what happened. What kind of conversation do you have?
Yeah, it's more about, hey, what'd you see right there? You know, we kind of talk through it. He's got such great ownership and, you know, accountability that it's easy to be able to move on from those things. You know, he sees the field so well. I thought the first one was a good play by Chuck Clark. You know, we didn't exactly – it was really not a good play call by me. Put our guys in a bad spot, and he made a good play. And then the second one, you know, we kind of quick counted it, had a three-level throw. And, you know, sometimes when you snap the ball quickly, you prohibit a great quarterback like Matthew Stafford's ability to be able to, you know, read and recognize the entirety of the coverage contour and what they're doing defensively. And they did a good job overlapping with the backside safety. And then the last one was a good rush by Bowser, and he ended up forcing the ball out. But I could go over a lot of really good stuff that Matthew did, too, and ultimately found a way to get it done, and that's what great players do.
We're talking to Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams. Coach, I heard you quote something after the game. I got it from John Wooden from his Pyramid of Success. I don't know if that's where you got it, but I wanted to ask you about it. You mentioned the term competitive greatness, which is one of the cornerstones of Coach Wooden's pyramid. In other words, it's be at your best when your best is needed. And so here you got Stafford struggling, and you talked about those turnovers. And in the second half, he goes 14 for 14 and 8 for 8 in the fourth quarter. So I'm wondering, is that where you got it? Did you get it from Coach Wooden? You get it from another coach? Where did you get the concept of competitive greatness?
Oh, yeah, definitely Coach Wooden. I'm a huge fan of his. So many of the values that the core tenets of how they operated are things that I'd like to think that we try to operate with. And best coaches are the best thieves, man. And I got tremendous respect for Coach Wooden, the way that he led as a man of character integrity. But that is 100% from Coach Wooden. The top of the pyramid is competitive greatness right there.
Okay. Yeah, that was great that Stafford – it almost seems like he forgot the first half, which I think was your point after the game, right, is that you want – and I wonder, like, how do you measure when to get on him and say, hey, man, you can't throw it into triple coverage like that, you're killing us, and when to just don't say anything because you know he's got it in him that when the game's on the line, he's going to show up?
Yeah, I think you want to have dialogue. I mean, I think, you know, that quarterback position, you know, everybody's got all the answers and no accountability to how difficult that really is. And so I have tremendous respect and appreciation for how difficult that spot is. So I think you always want to work through it. You know, there's elements where there are some occupational hazards of the position, but this guy navigates and works through those things as well as anybody I've been around. That's why I love him. And he didn't flinch. You know, any great competitor, there's always going to be, you show me a great competitor, I'll show you a guy that's overcome adversity time in and time out. And Matthew is definitely one of those guys.
You know, it feels like since Sony Michel has come on and really come into his own, that there is a, is it fair to say there's a greater commitment to the run because of his success?
No, I think we've been more efficient. So anytime that you're efficient running the football, you can have an opportunity to get more carries off because you're staying in those more down, you know, manageable down and distances where you have the ability to kind of have the run or pass threat as opposed to kind of being behind the sticks where you're in your second and longs or your third and longs. And so Sony's enabled us to be able to get more carries off because of the efficiency that he's been operating with over the last five games, without a doubt.
Coach, here come the Niners. I know you have great respect for Coach Shanahan, and the Niners, for whatever reason, have had the Rams number over the fast few times that met him. As you get ready for San Francisco, what are you focused on the most to try and end that losing streak?
Yeah, playing a good, clean game. You know, this is a really good team. They're well coached. You know, we got to play really good ball in that 3-hour window that we're guaranteed. We got to finish the regular season the right way. We got to try to go get our 13th win. We know if we take care of business, we ensure ourselves as NFC West champs. It's going to be a great challenge, but our guys are excited about it, and I think they've started off the prep the right way today.
You know, the defense was fantastic in that Baltimore game. I mean, really, really made big plays, particularly down the stretch. That last drive, stopping them was you know, a huge moment. You know, you kind of know from watching the first San Francisco game where you played them, you know, their recipe, it seems like, is to chew up as much clock as possible and run the football. If you know that, how do you plan for that?
Well, they did a great job. You know, I think you want to be able to limit their efficiency on early downs, but, you know, they were also able to play with the lead. You know, we got behind early where had a couple turnovers, one for, you know, a touchdown the other way on a drop screen pass. And so, you know, we kind of let them play the game on their terms. And we've got to do a good job of starting fast and establishing some good momentum early on in drives. And they're a really good team. They do an excellent job. And you know, we got to be able to play a better game than what we have in the last few times we played them. We've got to coach better as well.
Last thing for me, Coach, when you look at this game, do you scoreboard watch? Do you pay attention what's going on with the other games? Or do you just have to play the game in front of you and not worry about who you would play in the playoffs or where you were seated? Is your whole focus just on the game in front of you?
Yeah, because we know if we end up handling our business, we win the division and we're the 2 seed. You know, so I think our guys have earned the opportunity to not have to count on anybody else to do our work. And that's, you know, we know we've got enough challenges ahead of ourselves to handle our business. And so certainly not going to be watching any scoreboards. We just want to handle our business against a really good division team.
So I'm curious, what was the best Christmas gift that you received?
Best Christmas gift I got?
Yeah.
Whew. My fiance got me some pretty clean Tom Ford shoes.
Nice.
She also got me a nice Louis Vuitton travel bag. So those are pretty good ones. And then those are the ones that stand out. I'm a hard guy to shop for, but those were two pretty good gifts that she got me.
So what did you get her?
I got her a lot of nice jewelry. You know, a couple necklaces. They got some bags. You know, I'll tell you what, I'm a pretty nice guy on Christmas. She's styling and profiling.
Nice. Sounds like you both are after Christmas.
That's right.
Nice.
You're damn right. What the hell you expect?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, last thing, and this is a hacky question that's been asked a lot, but it is 2022. What is your? Do you have a New Year's resolution? Do you believe in New Year's resolutions?
No, I believe in being consistent throughout the course of, you know, I believe in learning from your mistakes and fixing those or, you know, always trying to improve. But I think consistency is the truest measurement of performance. We want to consistently, you know, attack every single day. And I think most importantly, man, just keep enjoying that, you know, enjoy the blessings that we do have. You know, I've heard some of our guys talk about it. You know, I never want to lose sight of this. It's such a blessing to do what I do, what we do. And never a burden, and always be reminded of that.
Awesome, man.
Coach, congratulations on the great season so far, and I know you want to finish it. So we'll be rooting for you this weekend.
Yep. See you Sunday at SoFi, Coach.
Let's go. Sounds great, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there's Sean McVay. And
what was the best Christmas gift you got?
The best Christmas gift.
Yeah, what? Nail it down.
iPad. Now, I was surprised. I was kind of mad about this. I take really good care. Like, you pound on your computers.
Oh, I pound on it, yeah.
You put them through the ringer. I take very good care of my electronics. Mm-hmm. I always keep them fully charged. I clean them. I make sure that I update them as soon as I can update them. So the other day, I'm updating an app on my iPad, and it says, your operating system is out of date.
Oh.
So normally, I just go update the operating system.
Yeah.
So I go to update. They said, nope, your iPad's too old. It won't accept the newest operating system.
Hmm.
And so my only option was to go buy a new iPad. I thought, God, I haven't had that iPad.
Well, how long did you had it?
That's what I'm getting to. 9 years.
Wow.
So Lisa got me a new iPad for Christmas.
That's nice. A pretty good run, 9 years.
Yeah. This guy baby those things, man.
Didn't you get anything sentimental? Like, didn't she get you something, you know, like, not electronics, but like something personal?
No.
No?
She did. I got her some jewelry and I got her some other stuff, but I can't even think of anything sentimental that I want. My wedding ring, which I still have from the day we got married, cost 1/10 what Lisa's wedding ring cost.
Well,
Just give me something simple.
Yeah, that's usually kind of what it is, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Same with you, Jorge?
Oh, yeah. I spend more on her ring than mine.
Yeah.
Jorge, what's the best Christmas gift you got?
The best one or the one I got this year from Brenda?
Another one you got this year from Brenda.
The one I got,
Brenda,
dude,
yeah.
She surprised me with a Shaq, like a yellow Shaq jersey. I don't have a Shaq jersey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she gave me this
cool-looking
Shaq
jersey.
Well,
and she also followed the number one rule of jersey buying. Always go old school. Like Shaq's Laker jersey will never, ever go out of style.
Ever.
Ever. Like, Mace, if I was going to buy you a Dodger jersey.
Yeah.
I would buy you like a Jackie Robinson or a Sandy Koufax jersey because it would never go out of style. You could wear it to games for as long as you're alive. But if I buy you a Cody Bellinger jersey and
he could be
playing shortstop for the Rangers next year.
There are some players that break that rule, though. Like, for example, Kershaw. I have a Kershaw jersey. Kershaw will always be a Kershaw jersey.
Yeah, but next year, or even this year, you know, he could sign in the offseason. If he goes and signs with the Astros and they beat the Dodgers in the World Series, it'd be kind of weird you wearing your Kershaw jersey to a World Series where you're pitching against us.
Aaron Donald, you can't go wrong with an Aaron Donald jersey. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Active player, though. Risky. If he comes back and wreaks havoc against you, then he's still a very good active player. I would imagine somebody might have a Goff jersey at the game you're going to on Sunday.
Oh, God.
But I would buy a Dickerson jersey, an old school Fred Dreyer, Jack Youngblood jersey. You can't go wrong with that. Brenda did the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brenda, that was smart. What'd you get her, Jorge? Did you get her sentimental stuff or like practical stuff?
Oh, practical stuff. She made a list and I was like, okay, I'll try to get as many things from this list that I can. So, yeah.
Bergman, like, what about you? Did you get any good jewelry. Christmas gifts?
Nope, I'm Jewish and don't get anything.
Did you get any Hanukkah gifts?
Hanukkah? No, I didn't get anything for Hanukkah either. I got booze. People gave me booze.
Oh, that's nice.
That's always good.
Yeah, I'll take booze.
That works. It sounds like you were alone in quarantine, so booze probably came in handy.
Oh, they came in handy. Well, like, I can't really drink during all that. It's a little bit weird, but yes.
It's like you, it booze, and Cobra Kai.
But wait, can you even taste it?
I
never lost my sense of taste. Did you, Bergman?
Taste? No, not taste or smell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, always had it.
Juan and I make an agreement that we don't get each other Christmas gifts.
I thought you got an Oculus.
Yeah, the goggles.
Oh, well, yeah, we got those for ourselves. So they're on order right now. We're getting Oculus goggles.
See, I'm in a tough spot, though, because, look, I just had Christmas, and then her birthday is coming up next week.
True.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
The girl that lives across the street from me has her birthday on December 24th.
Oof.
So her husband has to come up.
See, that's easy. Then Christmas is birthday.
Right, but you got to double up.
Jorge, it's harder because birthday is, what's the date?
16th. Well, 2 weeks.
Yeah. So you kind of need two gifts.
A little bit of a bump.
Yeah, a little bit of time there.
Yeah.
Then Valentine's Day? Oh, forget it. See? It's back to back to back.
By the way, Cobra Kai is the most addictive show on TV. I'm like 8 episodes in now. I'm almost to the All Valley. Ireland, you got to get on this Cobra Kai train.
Well, if we start,
you really do.
Michael and I are going on the next trip. It's a, like an experiment to see if we're still good. At least that's the plan as of now. It could change again. And so if we start going, that's what I'll load up on my new iPad. I'll load up Cobra Kai.
I'm starting my own dojo.
Oh boy.
Mason Doe.
Silver Falcon.
No. Mason Doe works. That's pretty
Mason
cool.
Doe.
Mason Doe. It's the only dojo in all of Southern California where you're allowed to come stoned.
That's true. Easier
I think
to
all of
take
them,
the pain.
Happens. But Ireland, you have to allow yourself into the world. Don't think of anything of it being real because none of it is obviously real.
Well, I saw the first season. I've got to download the other seasons.
I think this is fair to say, there's an element of kind of cheesiness to it.
Oh, good. Big time. Soap opera cheese.
And totally works. All right, coming up next, we'll get back to that. We'll reset that whole thing about Aaron Rodgers.
Let's take some calls on that. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Mason and I actually disagree on this. If you're voting for someone for MVP, should you consider their behavior off the field? Or is it all about what they do on the field? I think I would vote for Aaron Rodgers for MVP. Mason, and he's not the only one, would not, because Aaron Rodgers was, you know, such a jerk off the field. And we'll reset why we were bringing this up.
Exactly. All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So are you on track to be back Friday night?
Not sure. Yeah, I would say it's 50-50.
50-50. All right.
Yeah. Could go either way.
How many games have you missed?
Three.
Three. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, so far.
That's not bad.
Yeah. All right, so this Aaron Rodgers thing is interesting in that it begs the question, if you're voting for sports awards,
yep,
and let's face it, every league has them, do you consider an athlete's behavior off the field? There's a guy named Hub Arkish, who is the editor of a publication called Pro Football Weekly. He's been around forever. He has an MVP vote. And he has decided that he is not voting for Aaron Rodgers, and it has nothing to do with anything Rodgers did on the field. It's how he behaved off the field. We're going to play two parts of this. First, his explanation on why he's not voting for Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team and your organization and your fan base the way he did and be the most valuable player. Has he been the most valuable on the field? Yeah, you could make that argument, but I don't think he is clearly that much more valuable than Jonathan Taylor or Cooper Kupp or maybe even Tom Brady. And so from where I sit, the rest of it is why he's not going to be my choice.
All right. By the way, he did this on a sports radio station on The Score in Chicago.
Okay.
Two guys named Danny and Matt.
And he's a totally legit guy. Like, he's an actual voter.
Has had a vote for years.
Yeah.
And so those guys asked him, those two guys doing the show said, well, what specifically did he do that makes you call him a jerk? Like, why do you feel this strongly about Rodgers? Give us some specifics, and here's what Arkish said.
He ruined the entire offseason for that football team. They were left in jeopardy. They had no idea what they were doing. A lot of the off-the-field stuff was wasted because he wasn't there. He tortured his fan base, and he's getting ready. He's already started doing it again.
So he couldn't have won the MVP before the season for you?
For me, no. Yeah, no. I just think that the way he's carried himself is inappropriate, and you know the vaccine thing just was one more, you know, log on the fire, so to speak. I think he's a bad guy, you know, and I don't think a bad guy can be the most valuable valuable guy at the same time.
Now, Mace, since we played these two clips last hour, Aaron Rodgers has now responded to Hub Arkish. And he was asked, what do you think about this guy ruling you out for off-the-field behavior? Here's what Rodgers said.
I think he's a bum. I think he's an absolute bum. He doesn't know me. I don't know who he is. No one knew who he was probably until yesterday's comments. But, I mean, and I listened to the comments, but to say he had his mind made up in the summertime, in the offseason, that, you know, I had zero chance of winning MVP, in my opinion, should exclude, you know, future votes. You know, his problem isn't with me being a bad guy or the biggest jerk in the league. Because he doesn't know me. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me. I mean, I've never met him. I've never had lunch with him. I've never had an interview with him. His problem is I'm not vaccinated. You know, so if he wants to go on a crusade and collude and come up with an extra letter to put on the award just for this season and make it the most valuable vaccinated player, then he should do that. But he's a bum, and I'm not going to waste any time worrying about that stuff. He has no idea who I am. He's never talked to me in his life. But it's unfortunate that those sentiments, it's surprising that he would even say that, to be honest. But yeah, I knew this was possible. Talked about it on Mac a few weeks ago. But crazy.
Yeah. All right, Mace. So you agree with Arkish. Why?
Here's where Aaron's wrong. Publicly, he has gone on that McAfee show every single week all year long. So we do know. We know he has a public persona. We do know him. We don't know him personally, but we know the way he represents himself in the world. And I think what Arkish's point is that going back to the offseason, all of the drama, will he, won't he, is he leaving, is he staying, is skipping minicamp and hanging out, and all that stuff was a distraction to the organization, and he did put the fans through the ringer. Since then, every week, and I'm not talking about just the vaccination part, I honestly don't remember anymore if he's vaccinated. I know at one point he lied about it and said he was immunized and he wasn't vaccinated, whatever.
Well, he just said in that clip he's not vaccinated.
Did he say he's not vaccinated?
Yeah, he said his problem with me is I'm not vaccinated.
Oh, okay. That's not the deciding factor to me. It's the fact that he's going on every single week and causing controversy. He's not being a good teammate.
Okay. Can I give you the other side of this? Because I disagree with you.
I mean, I know there is one, so please.
Yeah, I disagree with you. If he's not being a good teammate, if he's being a distraction, if he ruined his team's offseason, as Hub Arkish said he did, if he's a bad guy, how did they go 13-3? How have they locked up the number one seed in the NFC? If there was some indication that all of his behavior, the stuff that you don't like and that Arkish doesn't like, affected this football team negatively, wouldn't it show up in the record? They're 13-3. How we judge football teams, how we determine who wins the Super Bowl and who goes to the playoffs, is based on who wins the games. And he wins more than anybody. He statistically had a fantastic season. I wouldn't hesitate in a heartbeat to vote for Aaron Rodgers for MVP. And I don't understand your argument or Arkish's argument that he's been a bad teammate. If he is, how are they 13-3?
Okay, so here's what's interesting about Arkish. He said the quiet part out loud. Aaron Rodgers is not going to win Most Valuable Player. He's just not. Arkish is being honest about it.
Wait a minute. You know he's the overwhelming favorite to win.
I don't think he's going to win.
And Arkish, in a part I didn't play for you, says he thinks Arkish does think Rodgers is going to win.
I think there are more people like Arkish who are going to drop him down the ballot. What are the odds
you,
right
you
now,
think
friend?
There's a Ted Williams?
Because Tom Brady's clearly had a better year than Aaron Rodgers.
Not clearly.
Threw for more touchdowns, threw for more yardage.
Right, but
Tommy, that's the way we measure quarterbacks: touchdowns and yardage.
But look at
more
how we
measure
MVPs.
For Brady and almost 5,000 yards. He's got almost 1,000 more yards passing than Aaron Rodgers does.
Right, but Mace, remember who normally wins the MVP? It's the quarterback of the best team. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Lamar Jackson. It's Aaron Rodgers this year. The number one, the Bucks are going to be the number 4 or 5 seed. The pack is a lock to be the number one seed. Let's take some phone calls on this. 877-710-ESPN. By the way, Bergman, what do you think? Do you tend to agree more with me or with Mason?
I'm completely with you, John. I think it's asinine that a voter would even think about what he does off the field based on winning an MVP. It just shouldn't be that way. You take your feelings and you put them aside. You are voting for the MVP of the NFL, not what they do off the field, not what they do in the summer. None of that stuff matters. It all is the MVP of the league. I'm totally with you, John.
Jorge, what do you think?
No, I think you focus on what happens on the field. I'm with Bergman on this one.
I'm alone.
No, you're not. Well, Arkish is with you. And if
I got some guy named Hub Arkish on
my
side.
By the way, Mace, if you're right, it will be fascinating about that he's saying the quiet part out. I think that's a fascinating point. If there is an underground movement, like let's face it, like this happens all the time in elections, even presidential elections, where people say, well, look at the polls. He has or she has no chance. And then the results come out and you go, oh, my gosh, there was a whole underground that wasn't saying anything out loud. And that could be happening in sports with this. If he doesn't win the MVP, I will be shocked. Because
I don't think he's going to.
Because the overwhelming...
Yeah, I just pulled up the odds. He is -400, which is pretty heavy favorite. Bet 400 to win 100.
Yeah, who's second?
Tom Brady is second. Joe Burrow is third. Jonathan Taylor is fourth. And Cooper Kupp is fifth.
Yeah, I think he's going to win it. And if he doesn't win it, the point you're making today is fascinating. That a lot of people agree with Arkish. That a lot of people agree with you. And
won't say it.
They're turned off by this guy. And what makes the Arkish comments so interesting is that the thing Bergman's outraged about, that that you have to put your feelings aside, he's coming right out and saying, no, I don't. There is no criteria for MVP. I get to vote on whatever I see fit.
And he should lose his vote.
Well, I don't think he will.
No.
He won't, but he should. All of everybody.
You're allowed to define MVP any way you want. There's no definition for it. Just like there's no definition for the Hall of Fame.
Greg, that's one of the questions those two guys, Danny and Matt, asked him. They said, isn't there criteria or guidelines you have to follow? And Arkish says, no. We are allowed the latitude to determine whatever most valuable means in our own eyes. And to me, most valuable can't be the biggest jerk in the league. And
personal feeling. He doesn't, Aaron Rodgers said, he's never met him. How do you know he's a bad guy? Just because
wait a minute,
what you see?
We see him
single
week on that
no,
McAfee
but you don't
show.
Know him. You don't know him as a person. You've never sat down
we
and had dinner with him or a drink with
him. He presents himself as publicly.
So?
There's nobody
what
in
you
the
do
league
on
who's
social
been on
media
TV or on video
well,
more than Aaron Rodgers.
Greg, it's a little more than that. I'm with you in this argument, but it's a little more than that. I mean, Rodgers did completely disrupt their offseason. But my argument
so
against,
did Brett Favre year
okay,
after
my
year.
Argument against Mason is he didn't disrupt it to the point that it affected the on-field product. The way we determine who the best team is who wins the most games, and they've won more games than anybody. So if he did, if he's a bad teammate,
bad guy,
says who? They're 13 right. and 3. If the quarterback of your team is a bad teammate and a bad guy, wouldn't you lose a couple of games because of that? They've won more games than anybody. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. We'll get some of your thoughts on this coming up.
All right, Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, so this Aaron Rodgers thing is interesting. Of course, I've got the minority view. There may be an update to this story. Hang on one sec. Well, let's get some calls. I think there is an update to this story.
Okay. Carlos in Linwood is online. Hey, Carlos, what do you think? Are you with Mason and you should consider Aaron Rodgers off-the-field behavior, or are you with me and you would just judge him from what happens on the field?
Hey, what's up, guys? I hope you feel better, John.
Thank you.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Ireland. I think, you know, what happens on the field is on the field. What happens off the field is off the field. Everybody has their own personal beliefs, their own personal choices. And, yeah, I think he's the MVP. And one thing, Mason, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You know how this might be Aaron Rodgers' last year in Green Bay.
Right.
Would you trade him straight up for Matt Stafford?
That's a good question. I mean, he's older, which is part of it. I mean, Matthew is, what, 33 or 34, and Aaron is 38 or 39. Rounding numbers.
Right, but you're just going for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you, of course.
I wouldn't trade him straight up for Aaron Rodgers. I wouldn't. I wouldn't because of all the off-field crap.
Does it make a difference that since the first week of the season, he has 36 touchdowns and 2 interceptions?
No.
All right, thanks, Carlos, for the phone.
Does it matter?
I don't want the off-field garbage. I just don't.
Does it matter that you said yesterday or the other day that we were stuck with Matthew Stafford?
There's an emotional reaction to a really bad game. You can't hold me responsible for what I text during a game.
Sure. Oh, not only can we will.
You will. You do.
Philip in Pomona. Hey, Philip, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you doing?
Good,
great, man.
All right. So, personally, I don't really like Aaron Rodgers at all. I have a lower opinion of him than I do of Kyrie Irving. But I would say you kind of have to separate the off-the-field stuff from the on-the-field stuff. It's too big. He's too good of a player. And the off-the-field stuff hasn't really affected the Packers that greatly, in my opinion.
All right, thanks. So, hey, Mace, address that part of the argument. If all the things that you and Arkish say about Rodgers are true and that he's a bad teammate and that he's a bad guy, why hasn't that affected the Packers who are 13-3?
I think the question is, do you want him to be the face of your organization? And I would not.
I would if it equaled 13-3.
I would not because he's an arrogant jerk.
All right, but you're okay. So you'd rather be 12-4 with Stafford than 13-3 with Rodgers?
I would. By the way, Arkish has released a statement on ProFootballTalk.com about saying what he said last night. He says, quote, "I made a big mistake last night. Traditionally, MVP voters don't say who they're voting for until the results are announced. Arkish didn't technically violate that since he talked about who he wasn't voting for. But he knows he violated the spirit of the tradition. He says, quote, it's on me. I screwed up. All you can do is own it, and I own it.
Huh. Interesting.
So he was better off not saying anything. Just vote against Rodgers. Just don't say it.
Probably. Oh.
And I think there's a sentiment out there amongst voters. I just said, I think it's very possible Aaron Rodgers doesn't win MVP because there are a lot of guys like Hub Arkish who've got ballots.
In John's terms, is this something or nothing? I just went to Hub Arkish's Twitter. He has a picture where he's wearing a Chicago hat. It's a Chicago Cubs hat.
He lives in Chicago.
So he is a Chicago guy, which is also very much against the Packers. And he's taking a picture with Aaron Jones.
I don't think that's a thing.
You don't think that's a thing that he, as a Chicago fan, as a rival, hates the Packers?
No, Mason made all the points about Rodgers before this was even a controversy.
I said it yesterday.
Right, before Hub Arkish's comments were even
before there was ever a Hub Arkish. And by the way, Momo chimed in and completely agreed with me.
Here is Joe in Claremont. Hey, Joe, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi. Did we lose Joe?
Disagree with Mason. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we got you, man. Joe. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to say I totally disagree with Mason on the point that we judge quarterbacks off of yards and touchdowns. We judge quarterbacks off of winning. Everybody knows that the team that is behind, you have to throw more. And lots of times stats don't match on who won and who lost. That's why it's always been, it's about winning, like who won the game. It's empty stats if you lost. If you got a triple-double in basketball and you lost, doesn't matter.
In fairness, Tampa Bay is 12-4. It's not like Tampa Bay is losing games.
But didn't
you also said, in fairness, you said that Brady has had a much better season. I don't remember the exact word you used, but you were like, Brady's had a way better season.
More yards and more touchdowns. More yards and more touchdowns.
Right, but
more
if you,
losses.
Yeah,
more
if you
losses.
Go by
one
Joe's.
More loss, more yards, and more touchdowns.
But that
I think
one,
there's a perfectly
one more
reasonable
loss.
Case
one more loss
for Brady.
Home field advantage. Mason, you are lost your damn mind. And you need to lose your Ramley car saying you wouldn't trade Stafford for Rodgers straight up. That's
wouldn't
insane.
Wouldn't do it.
Well, Dave, Joe, don't worry about it. The fact that he wouldn't do it doesn't mean Les Snead wouldn't do it.
Correct. That is correct.
So there you go. Thanks, Joe, for the phone call.
No, Tom Brady had a great year.
He did, but not as good as Stafford.
You can make
not
a,
as
you
good
could,
as Rodgers.
You could totally make a case for Brady.
Sure.
You could. I mean, I told you I would put Jonathan Taylor on, as the MVP.
Hey, you want to do a mythical money bet? I'll bet that Rodgers wins the MVP. You can have the field.
It's really a tough bet since Rodgers is such a heavy favorite.
Right.
But so why, so pretty... why would I do it when it's I need odds?
What odds you want? You want 4-1 odds?
Let's see. Does that make sense? 4-1?
You know what, you said he was +400.
Let's see. But is that the right number of odds? Like the next one is +550.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. But I mean, I'd give you 4-1 odds. You give me $5,000 if Rodgers wins, and I give you 20 if he doesn't?
That's 4-1. I don't know if there's a good enough odds.
Okay, well, think about it. You don't have
to. Yeah, you get $20,000 if anybody else besides Rodgers wins.
Yeah, I just don't know if -450 to +550 is necessarily 4-1.
Yeah, well, are we having the Fez on this week?
Yeah.
We can run it.
Yeah, we can have him.
Yeah,
are we having Matthew Berry on?
No.
Isn't fantasy kind of over?
No, this is championship week.
For you?
No,
No, week 18.
I was
under
the impression
18.
That for everybody else, last week was championship week. Because
yes.
The week 18, a lot of people sit, so everybody times it out, so week 17 is your Super Bowl.
Then why is Matthew Berry putting out a love-hate list?
Because I think he does it all the way to the end of the Super Bowl. I mean, we can ask him. I'm sure he'd do it.
I thought this was championship week. I mean, we don't play a playoff situation.
Right.
So I've never been in that situation, but I would think the last week of the season is the championship.
Normally, in most normal leagues, and you and I are in far from a normal league.
Far from normal.
Week 17, or what is in essence the second to the last week of the season, is the Super Bowl because so many people, like for example, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play this weekend.
Right.
And so most leagues set it up that way. That you don't have to worry about the last week of the season because so many people sit.
Well, we will get the Fez on this week because I finally get to bet mythical money. I had a couple of weeks where I couldn't bet any mythical money because I was completely out of mythical money. And now I'm back in the game.
I wanted to get into something else with you guys, but maybe I'll wait. We'll do jump ball and then do it.
Let's do jump ball and we'll take it at 3.
Okay, because at 3 o'clock we'll talk about this. Did you see that there is a scenario where some things have to break right in the early games? But there's a scenario but that by the time the Raiders-Chargers game starts on Sunday night, that both teams get in with a tie.
Oh.
Could you orchestrate a tie?
That's a good question.
In other words, couldn't you go to the other coach and say, hey, look, we both want to make the playoffs. Let's play to 0-0. Let's just both agree that we'll take a knee when we get close to the end zone and we're both in. It's good for both our teams. It's good for both our jobs. Anyway, okay. We can get into it at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I think I know my answer, but we'll get into that. We'll get into that. Coming up next is Jump Ball. Do we have a new intro there, Bergman?
Probably not. But we talked about it.
What do we have to do to get a new intro for Jump Ball?
It will come eventually. Just take some time.
It won't be today because I think Morales is out golfing.
Yeah, I think Morales is out.
Well, there's that.
We'll do Jump Ball anyway. Coming up next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Old intro. Oh, thanks,
whatever.
Morales.
It'll come around eventually. It's fine. It's fine. All right. So KJM was back this morning. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max from 6 to 10 a.m. daily here on 7 to 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And they talked a lot about Baker Mayfield and his future with the Browns. Mm. So what I'm wondering for you two, though, is how much do you think OBJ playing so well with the Rams affects Baker's future in Cleveland?
Doesn't help him. The fact that Beckham looks like Beckham with the Giants as soon as he comes to the Rams indicates that the problem was clearly not Beckham in Cleveland. It was either the head coach or the quarterback. Mace, I just think the Browns roster is so loaded that they can't come back with Baker Mayfield next year. They've got to try and go get Russell Wilson, go get Aaron Rodgers. They're loaded at almost every position.
Yeah.
And I think you just – I don't think it's fair to the rest of the team to throw Baker Mayfield out there. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. He's not had a good year. He is – I was just looking at his numbers here. He's thrown for 3,000 yards. Yeah, not a good year. Not a good year. I would not roll with Baker Mayfield. I would look in another direction. And you mentioned Russell Wilson's going to be out there. You know, maybe you dive back into the draft. I don't know what their draft pick situation is.
Well, there could be three Pro Bowl quarterbacks available at the start, you know, at the start of this offseason. One is Deshaun Watson, who obviously has baggage. One is Russell Wilson, and the other is Aaron Rodgers. All three of those would be better than Baker Mayfield.
Oh, no, 100%. 100%. I don't think they're going to extend Baker Mayfield. They took him. This was his fifth year option that they didn't pick up. I think he'll move along and they'll go with a veteran presence. And should. This, by the way, was his worst year. So this is his fourth year. It was his worst year of the four. So he's regressing.
Yeah, he's done. He's done for. I just thought that with OBJ playing well here and not playing well at all there. Maybe that happened.
Yeah, they didn't like each other. That's just
no.
They just didn't like each other, so they never connected, never developed any rapport or connectivity.
Yeah. All right, so this one is actually for Jorge. There's a controversy over on Travis and Sliwa's show about some wine. Can you play the clip, Jorge?
I consider Jorge a friend of mine, right? Not just a colleague and a peer, but an amigo. That he stole my wine means that I need to completely recalibrate my relationship with Jorge.
So, Jorge,
hold on.
Can you explain yourself, sir?
That's a pretty bad accusation. Like, what the hell?
All right, like they say, my side of town. Oh, hell no. So, this is what happened. That day, there were gifts passed around and whatnot, right? So, Taylor came in that night, and somebody left a bag for Taylor. It had his name on it and everything.
Okay.
Taylor says, oh, this is nice, but unfortunately, I don't drink. Hey, Jorge, would you like a bottle of wine? You know, I'm not going to drink it. I'm not going to do with it. If you want to take it, go ahead. It's yours. And I said, no, man, it's yours. They gave it to you. He's like, yeah, but I'm not even going to drink it. Just take
who
it.
Who gave it to Taylor?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It was just a
Alan Sliwa. Okay. It would be Alan Sliwa.
Okay. Yeah. So the bag had Taylor's name on it, and Taylor said, hey, here, you can have it. And I took it home. He gave it to me. Whether I stole it, that's a different story.
Now,
hell no.
How does Travis at any point claim ownership of said wine?
Because he says you stole it from him, right?
No, Taylor gave it to me.
So apparently what happened was there was a switch. Taylor got Travis's gift, and Travis got Taylor's gift. So that wine was supposed to go to Travis.
Oh.
It sounds like your issue may be with Taylor. If he cut a deal to swap gifts with Travis, do you know what the other gift was, Bergman?
No, I don't know what the other gift was.
If he cut a deal with Travis to trade the wine and then gave you the wine he traded, then Taylor is committing the party foul, not you. But you need to get to the bottom of it, because it sounds like Travis is just going to shame you until you give the wine up.
Well, good luck. Wine's gone.
You know what I say? I say possession is 9/10 of the law, man. That's your wine.
Sorry,
Taylor
Travis.
Gives you the wine, it's your wine.
We're still amigos, Travis, but hey, it was given to me. I did not steal it.
Maybe Bergman, arrange to get Travis on the show either later today or tomorrow. We'll get
Let's
his
see
side
if we can mend this fence.
I'm going to try and get him on for 3:15. How about
okay,
that?
Okay, good. Perfect. Good. Do that.
All right, while I do this, Jorge, it's your turn.
Okay, so based on that accusation, if Travis wants his bottle of wine back, what do I do? Do I give him a bottle of wine? How do we solve this? What do you guys think?
Well, the good thing about bottles of wine is no matter what wine you drank, you could always buy one less expensive.
Yeah, hell, go to Trader Joe's. $2 chuck is fine. It's just red water. Do it.
Yeah, that would seem to end it. But it's a better bit if we determined if Taylor double dipped here.
Oh, no question.
Did Taylor accept a trade of a gift and then give you the wine? Because that's a pretty slick move by Taylor if he did it. But we'll get to the bottom of it. Yeah, but you can easily replace that wine with a bottle of wine less expensive. That's easy to do.
We'll see what Travis is later.
Yeah.
All right, so Bruce Feldman of The Athletic said yesterday that Jim Harbaugh has real interest in leaving Michigan for a job in the NFL.
And I know the
job. Is there a better fit for Harbaugh than the Raiders?
No,
Sean?
There is not. Come to the silver and black, Jim Harbaugh.
Do you not keep this Bisucci guy?
I don't even know who that is.
The head coach that recovered from this John Gruden thing and got them on the cusp of the playoffs.
Oh, please.
I think he's a coach of the year candidate.
Placeholder. Give us Harbaugh.
It'll be like Helton.
Yeah. You're a prisoner of the moment. You wanted Coach O and you wanted Clay, and now you went through 5 years of losing.
Wait a minute. Rich Bisaccia, you don't think deserves any consideration for the Raiders job.
Who is that?
He's the head coach of the Raiders that has gotten you one win away from the playoffs.
You got left out a very important word. Interim. No, he can keep his job as whatever he was before. Special teams coordinator.
He's going to be in the conversation for coach of the year.
Who is there like a lock for coach of the year?
I don't think so.
Belichick looked like he was heading for it and then he didn't get it.
Who is the coach of the year?
That's a good question.
I really like the guy in what's the guy's in Tennessee's name?
Mike Vrabel?
Mike Vrabel, I think, is probably a candidate.
Yeah, it's a good question. Who should be coach of the year this year? It's nobody in the NFL. Maybe Kingsbury?
Kingsbury's a good call, yeah.
But, if the Raiders make the playoffs, it's not far-fetched that you give it to, Father Guido Sarducci.
You're a Raiders fan. You don't even bother to know his name.
No, I didn't. Until you looked it up yesterday, you didn't know his name.
Yeah, it's Rich Bisaccia.
Yeah.
Bisaccia.
Yeah. It's Tony DeNiro.
Harbaugh leave now? He finally won something. Well, I mean, he won the Big Ten. He finally won something.
Right, nowhere to go but down.
At his alma mater.
Yeah, he's going to go back to getting beat by Ohio State.
Finally beat Ohio State.
My friend Danny just texted. Zach Taylor, Cincinnati.
Taylor, Cincinnati's the winner. You're
that's
right.
A good point,
that's
Danny.
A great
Thank
call.
You.
Yeah, that's a great call.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Calling to the stand. Somebody that was here that night when Taylor handed me that bottle of wine.
Oh.
Who was it?
It's none other than the one we don't vote for.
All right.
Laura Romo.
And I got to save your butt. Okay.
Okay, Laura, what is your interpretation of did Taylor agree to swap gifts with Travis?
Oh, I don't know about all that. I just know what happened in the studio.
Okay, what happened?
So George and I were talking, and He goes to his locker. Taylor goes to his locker. And I was, oh, who left this for me? It had his name on it, a pretty little bag.
Taylor's name. Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, you know, we were like, we don't know, dude. We don't know who's in
and
here.
And we found out later it was Sliwa.
Right. So he said, well, I don't drink. He goes, I don't drink. I don't know what to do with this. And I walked out of the studio, came back, and he had given George the bottle of wine. And I even made a joke, and I said, Latinos, we don't throw away those nice bags. We recycle them, you know, for another gift.
By the way, so do white people.
Okay. I was like, we don't do that. That's a pretty bag. And I told Taylor, I was like, what happened? You didn't like your gift? And he goes, no, I don't drink. So I'd rather give it to someone that's going to use it.
And all right, so I took it. Mm-hmm. There you go.
That sounds... like now, a complete exoneration of Jorge.
And you it now does. Have a material witness, Jorge. I don't think you even need to reimburse Travis for the
Mm-mm.
wine.
Okay,
we'll
good.
See what he
yeah.
we'll see what
and
he says.
I don't have anything to gain because, you know, he's like campaigning against me. So.
Yeah, just like he caught my baby.
Whatever.
But Travis has agreed to come on at 3:15. We can get to the
good.
Bottom of
we
all.
We will resolve this once and for all.
Excellent.
Hey, I wanted to throw this out. Play the breaking news sounder again. Okay, so there is this story bubbling around out there that because of state health and safety protocol stuff, that there is some consideration out there that the Super Bowl, this year's Super Bowl, would be moved to Dallas. My friend Alex Michelson from Channel 11 says, I asked Dr. Mark Gailey, California's Health and Human Services Secretary, about the future of the Super Bowl in L.A. on February 13th, given the Omicron rise. He says, L.A. County and the state will modify safety protocols and keep the game. So all the bubbling up that it's not going to happen, according to the Human Services Secretary for the state, it's going to.
Well, the question is, should it?
Oh, hell yes, it should.
Well, wait a minute. There's two sides to everything. Our friend Arash Markazi texted earlier, this isn't about a mask mandate. Super Bowl week is larger than the game. There are currently over 1,800 out-of-state medical personnel helping understaffed hospitals to handle the surge. The NFL is monitoring all this. So let's say it doubles. Let's say the COVID rate doubles. Do we really want to invite that many people into the city?
Texas had 54,000 cases of COVID yesterday. It's just as bad in Texas as it is in California.
Right, but we're bigger. We have a bigger population than Texas. We have more people here. So, I mean, I don't want to, you know, rain on the parade and say move the Super Bowl, and I don't think they will, by the way.
I agree with Alex. Yeah, I think it's not happening.
But it is worth a discussion.
Yeah, but in the end, COVID is everywhere. We're all in one big surge.
Yeah, but you understand that we're where all the people are. California.
Yeah, but we got
populated.
A game on Sunday.
Right, but that
we're playing.
I mean, right, that can be an indicator. If there's a big, if it turns into a super spreader event and everybody gets COVID, then do you bring the Super Bowl?
But isn't that every football game? I don't know if Dallas is a home game, but you're just as likely to have Dallas as a super spreader event as you are Los Angeles.
Except in Dallas, you can open the roof.
At SoFi, it's an open air stadium.
How so?
The fact that the roof doesn't cover the building.
Right.
There's a lid on it, but it's open to the sides to all sides.
Yeah, but the stadium in Texas is open in the roof too. I think it's a numbers game. I think you just run the numbers and see what you come back with.
Yeah, I think
I think you need to decide in the next week to 10 days. You can't be having people making plans to come out here for the Super Bowl and then reroute it a week before the game. So whatever these discussions are, they need to have them and make a decision. But it sounds to me like they're going to do everything they can to keep it.
Yeah, yeah. And again, California's Health and Human Services Secretary seems to indicate that they may modify safety protocols, but they're going to keep the game here. So that's it. I think there's zero chance they're going to move the Super Bowl out of L.A.
I wouldn't put it at zero, but I think it's here.
Yeah, I think it's here. All right, coming up next for you, Ireland has suggested something, or I guess there's a scenario out there.
Oh, it's real.
Where the Raiders and the Chargers may not need to win a game to get into the playoffs.
Well, specifically, if they tie, they both get in. But a few things have to break. So we'll explain it coming up.
We'll do that. Plus, I've got news on Cam Akers of the Rams. We didn't get this out of McVay, but he just did a press conference, and we got news on that. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.